welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today. We are so excited to be here. We always love being with you all, and we particularly love when we get a chance to highlight women in the Bible that we can learn from. So we are just thrilled today because we get to talk more about Deborah, the prophetess and the judge. And what an amazing example for us of true character, of true faith, Michelle, and pure leadership. You know, I love all of the verses that we can read about how she was growing in her leadership skills, even within her own home, as a wife, as a mother. And then soon as someone who had to make a declaration about going into battle when things just looked so dark and so bleak. So I'm so excited to dive in here today and just learn more about her life and what we can learn from her.
Well, I'm excited too. This week is Major Prophets and a Prophetess. Mm-hmm. So that is fun. A prophet in the Bible is a spokesman for God. They're called to deliver messages, warnings, revelations to people. They kind of functioned as intermediaries. Remember, this is pre-cross. We have to remind ourselves. Mm-hmm. People are not going one-on-one. They're going through a priest or a prophet. And the prophets had the position of explaining God's will.
Yes.
And several of them were writers. We're going to be talking later on this week about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And Deborah's not a writer, which is interesting, but she's not a fortune teller either. Hmm. You didn't go to a prophet to find out who you were going to marry.
Right.
Or, you know, if you were having a boy or a girl. They were what they used to call forth tellers. They brought forth the word of God. But they were also moral watchmen or guides. They had to address contemporary social issues, just like we are dealing with now, warning people, you know, calling the community to be faithful to God. Hmm. They were chosen by God.
Yes.
True prophets. False prophets could set up their little stand anywhere they wanted. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out why they were called false. And if you're a true prophet, you're operating in God's power and your messages are validated because they come true. They're accurate.
Yes.
And
yes.
Deborah's not the only one. We've got Miriam. Mm-hmm. The sister of Moses, she led worship and praise after the Exodus. We've got Huldah in 2 Kings. She validated the book of the law that was found during King Josiah's reign. They brought the book of the law to her and said, hey, is this really it? So that was incredible. Noadiah, unfortunately, is mentioned as an opposer of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 6. And Isaiah's wife, nothing about her except she was the prophetess. Mm. And in the New Testament, we forget that there's Anna.
Yes.
You know, a widow led by the Holy Spirit to speak about Jesus, to reveal the Christ, you know, this little baby she's calling attention to. And then in Acts, after the Holy Spirit comes down, we've got Philip's four daughters, four virgins who prophesy. So these women were respected leaders and, like male prophets, served as spokespersons. Mm. Jeremiah makes a really pretty, a genuine test of prophecy that you have to have personal holiness.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's Jeremiah 23:9-40, if anybody wants to look that up. And Jesus advises us to expose false prophets by looking at their behavior in Matthew 7. Mm-hmm. So we've got these biblical tests. There's four of them. Their predictions have to come true.
Yes.
If you say a tower is going to fall down, it better fall. Don't be saying stuff like that just for fun. And their teachings have to align with Scripture.
Yes.
I know there have been times we've talked about people coming to us and saying things to us that were not biblical.
Yes.
So you just smile and nod and go on your way. They have to produce fruit. Their words have to produce fruit that reflects Christ-like character in themselves and their listeners. And they point people to God.
Amen. Yeah, I love that so much, Michelle. Just the examination of your own heart, you know, and making sure it's in alignment with God's character and God's thoughts. I was just reading recently a devotional from our founding pastor, Dr. Carl Stevens, and he was talking about humility. And he said in the devotional that when you have the humility of Christ, then fear is removed and striving is removed. And there can be so much peace because the focus is all on God. And you have completely decreased. And I just hear that and I see that so much in Deborah's example, but also in all the other women that you mentioned, because the focus is not on them. It's on bringing forth what God has said and completely pointing people over and over again to the God that called them to speak those messages. And I just think that's something for all of us to really meditate on. If I'm not humble towards God and aligning myself with what his ways are and what he wants, I am not fit to be called for a special assignment because my heart first has to be yielded, especially if I'm going to be leading others or telling others to believe what I'm expressing about God. And it's just such an important aspect of our own walks for us to remember. We need to constantly be washed in the word. Mm-hmm. We need to constantly be in fellowship with God's presence and making sure that we are actual examples of hearts that want God ourselves, because that's the most that we can offer other people, is sharing with them, yes, God is real for me, and I want to share how with you.
That's beautiful. I love that. Well, in Judges 4:4-5, it talks about Deborah, and Israel had been disobedient to God, resulted in suffering under Canaanite oppression for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
Yes.
And she first appears in Judges 4:4, and this is what it says about her: Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, that she judged Israel at that time. She's the only female judge in the book of Judges, the only one to also be called a prophet, and the only one described as actually doing something. Hmm. And we learned four things about her from that verse. Her name means bee. And I used to think that meant she was busy. She was a busy little bee. But I looked at the Hebrew this time we studied it, and it talks about order. In the Hebrew mind, it wasn't busyness, it was order. So think of those six-sided hexagons. And I had to go online and find bees making these six-sided hexagons. They're so incredible. Mm-hmm. Just so beautiful how they do it. And we can think of Deborah as having an ordered mind. Mm. Just like a hive, the honeycomb is ordered, so is her, someone's mind. Now, honey's the only food that never spoils. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Never.
Okay.
They found honey from Egyptian tombs that is thousands of years old, and it's still, I don't know if I want to eat it, but it's not moldy. It's not bitter. It hasn't gone sour. And the word of God is also said to be sweet in Psalm 19:10. Sweet, sweeter than honey, actually.
Yes.
So, Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever, just like honey. And Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Amen.
So that's why I put on our picture for this week a little honeycomb.
Oh, okay, okay.
Thinking she spoke the word of God from an ordered mind.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, that's such a great thought. You know, trusting God's order is so important. And that's one of the reasons why there was a need for judges to rise up. You know, as you said, the Israelites were in this oppressive state. And we know about the Israelites that they were a chosen and loved group by God. You know, we meet them early in the Bible. They have very relatable personalities, a lot of things they're complaining about, scared of. This is us. You know, a lot of times we want to minimize, you know, our doubts about God, but they can really cause division and they can really cause a ripple effect in the divide that we build between ourselves and God. constantly wanting him to prove himself or forgetting what he's already done in our lives. So I love that we can see this need that the Israelites had and this back and forth that God has with them throughout their story of them having a need to be rescued and God coming down, rescuing them. Not only that, just being so loving, so caring, so sweet, such a provider. And then because their hearts were still filled with doubt, because their eyes were still distracted, there was this turning away ongoingly. But what do we see in this pattern? No matter how far away they turned, God could not help but incline his ear down towards them because they were his people. They were his chosen people. And I love that example of when God has made a choice about you, it is definite, it is firm, and it is not wavering. And that is why the Israelites could count on God, even in their complete disobedience and going astray, to listen to them and say, Lord, please, we need guidance. We need direction amongst our people. I think we can go through that. Sometimes we want this more tangible aspect of God. You know, we have our word and it comforts us, but we also have people in front of us. And that sometimes can be more of a comfort level. And we say, I wish I could go have a cup of coffee with God like this. I wish I could see God next to me. I wish as I'm crying, I could feel his hug the way I feel a hug from my mother or from somebody that I know cares for me. And so we do have these longings as individuals for more of a closeness with God. He's planted that in us. So hearing their cry, Lord, please don't ignore us. Lord, we need your help again. You know, and then God saying, I am going to look around within your group and see who really has a heart for me. Who can I trust? Who puts me first? And who, when I put them in a leadership role, will still keep that leadership role about me, which can be very difficult for a lot of people in leadership.
Well, that is great because you get full of yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry to say, and I'm not pointing any fingers except myself. I had a time of repenting this morning, and it was like, oh, really? Okay, sit down and let's talk to God. Mm-hmm. She was a prophetess. Now, she received direct messages from God and acted as his mouthpiece. But just like 5 years ago when we first started on Grace Hour, people might have something to say, like, hello, you know, we are never claiming to be prophetesses, you and I.
Oh, absolutely not.
We are teachers.
I think if people just spent maybe one full day with us, they'd be like, wow, God can use anyone on Grace Hour. Well, because we are very God needy, just like all of you listening.
He can. Our gift is teaching. Mm-hmm. And we're called to teach.
Yes.
So we teach. And we spend a lot of time studying. Mm-hmm. We're blessed to see this morning on Facebook, we've got Madeline joining us and Aretta.
Hi.
On YouTube, honey. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here with us.
Well, like us right now, sitting in the studio, and like Deborah, it's not in church. Mm-hmm. We are not grabbing the mic from pastor's hands and trying to give a message in church. We're not interrupting worship. You know, I love that she was a wife. Some people say it's the wife of Lapidoth. Some translators say it's just a woman of Lapidoth. Mm. Lapidoth means torch. Some people say she was a fiery woman, but I don't think a fiery woman would be sitting quietly giving God's word to people. Mm. You know, to be a prophetess, you have to listen to God.
Yes.
Not be fiery and crazy. And I love fiery, crazy people, but I don't go to them for advice. You know, it's more likely she's the wife of Lapidoth, and his name means torch. And I like that she didn't diminish her husband's life. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't become the wife of snuffed out. You know, she could be who she was, just like the Proverbs 31 woman. Mm-hmm. She could be who she was, and her husband could be who he is called to be.
Yes.
You know, and if her husband wasn't happy with what she was doing, people would have stopped coming. Mm-hmm. They would have been like, oh, Deborah's at her, you know, at her spot, but you know, did you hear her husband yelling at her yesterday? I don't think I should, you know, people know if your husband is not supporting you. And I think she had a very supportive husband. I do. I know you do.
Yes.
I know our beautiful Bethany Pearson often talks about Pastor Doug and how supportive he is, too. Mm. So when you're called to teach, it's great to have someone have your back.
Absolutely.
She was also a judge. Sometimes they're talking legal affairs, but I kind of doubt it. I kind of think it was like, hey, my sister's got my earrings.
You know? Oh, my gosh. What a fun day.
We were talking about earrings a few minutes ago. You know, think of the things women come to you about. Mm-hmm. You know, should mm-hmm. I do this? Should I do that? Yes. My child is doing this. What should I do? Mm-hmm. You know, my husband seems distracted. You know, how can I support him?
Yes.
And I love prophet, wife, judge. They're in biblical order. Mm. First, her relationship with God. Then her relationship with her husband. And then, if there's any energy left over, you know, people ask why we're not on every week. Because we would be exhausted.
I think the show content would be a lot different if that were the case.
We'd be talking about recipes and shoes, right? But, you know, her relationship with God, if you want to speak for God, you have got to listen.
I love that. I love that, you know, and I love that there's this, this sense of humor, you know, about the multiple roles that a lot of women play in general, including Deborah. You know, there was actually an article by an author whose name is Brian Bill, and the name of the article, to your point about her character, is called The Power of an Obeying Woman, Deborah.
Oh, I don't think I'm buying that book.
Well, one of the things he says in the article is, Deborah was a woman with at least 4 jobs. Can any of you women relate to this?
Oh my.
First, she was a wife. Second, according to Judges 5:7, she was a mother. Third, she was a judge. And finally, she was a prophetess who spoke God's word to people. Her job was not to tell people what she thought, but to tell people what God thought. And we see this in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, as you said, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have disputes decided. So I love this imagery we have here, really about ministry. I'm coming to you, Deborah, because I'm trying to have a ministry to the people in my life. I'm having these conflicts. I'm having these disputes. Teach me the character of God. Teach me the mind of God towards this issue, because you are an example through your own household, through your own marital relationship. And like you said, Michelle, that's so important, because you're right. People do look at what's going on behind the scenes of your life in order to determine whether or not your advice should be taken. There are many people who can quote the word of God, many people who are busy with activities, looking like they're serving, looking like they're growing, but God sees the heart. And we see the heart when we hear the words of counsel, when we see the relationship dynamics. And what an amazing thing for Deborah to be there saying, under this tree, in the midst of this issue, let's return to the heart of God, because mm-hmm. that's where we keep straying, right? That's exactly where the Israelites kept having such conflict. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. I honor what you did before. However, there are some doubts that also consume me. And we need that. We need that in our leadership. We need people saying, hey, doubt is a real thing. Hey, temptations are a real thing. Hey, conflicts, relational issues, very real thing. But God is who you go to understand how you can approach it, how you can pray about it, and how you can apply it in these relationships.
That is beautiful. I often say, as women Bible teachers, we're not preaching doctrine, we're teaching application.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just go to Judges 4:5. The next thing about her, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. She probably scratched a big D into this palm tree. Between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've ever seen a palm tree, you can't hide behind a palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can hide behind a big fat fir tree, but not a palm tree. So I love that that's the place she chose.
Yeah.
You know, a place of transparency. She wasn't hiding. She wasn't meeting people secretly, whispering in corners. It's like, here I am. And it speaks of her being covered.
Yes.
You know, and palm trees need water.
Mm-hmm.
Some date palms need 300 liters of water a day.
Wow.
So it's a place of water.
I love that.
And that's so important in a desert place, mm-hmm. you know. So she's covered, but she's got something bubbling up.
Yeah. You know, we actually did a brief study on palm trees in my outdoor program this past summer. And one of the things that I was emphasizing about the things that God provides is that there are so many wonderful natural medicinal qualities about his creation. So I love that element of healing and nourishment, because God is so creative in the pictures that he shows us of how his people work, how his people serve, and how his presence is really up and down in so many situations if we're looking for it.
I agree. I love that she did not go to people.
Mm-hmm.
She was not a busybody.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me to pray for them. And so I remembered, which was a good thing. And then I prayed the next day for them. And I thought, I had a little thought, and I thought, oh, should I send this in a text? And I thought, no, Michelle, you are praying to God for them. You are not trying to send little weird messages to them that they will become attached to you.
Mm, yes.
You already said you would pray. And I'm careful about, you know, weird things that come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, is this Michelle? I don't need to pass this on to anyone else.
Yes.
Or is this a demonic thought?
Mm-hmm.
And I often check my thoughts about, like, oh, I'm ready to send a text, but really, should I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was not in people's faces.
Mm.
She was an oasis for people.
Oh, I love that.
People came to her.
I love that.
They could come to her. They could be real. They could bring their problems. You know, you can't fit too many people under a palm tree. She wasn't holding court.
Right.
She wasn't acting like a queen.
Right.
She wasn't acting like a priest.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't in the chapel, in the church. But as a counselor, it often happens to me, I'm listening, but I'm also trying to connect with God.
Yes.
Like, okay, you're hearing this. What do I say? Maybe nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I said something to somebody yesterday. They texted me that they were nervous about something. And I said, oh, let's just cast our bread on the water and see what God will do. We're working on a project together. And she sent me a picture that morning. She had been in Switzerland feeding ducks off of a bridge, casting bread on the water.
Oh, my God.
So sometimes when I am most effective, I have no clue.
Yes.
It is not me. I just happened to say, oh, don't be nervous. Let's just cast our bread on the water. And here God had pre-confirmed it.
Wow.
Like, I can't make that happen
yes.
in Switzerland from Baltimore.
Yes, I know. That would be incredible. But that, I love what you said about, you know, that oasis mm-hmm. and Deborah providing that, because Bill, actually the author that wrote the article about her obedience, he actually notes a quality about her that she's a peacemaker. You know, like she settled disputes between people. She served as a peacemaker. And he says that's probably a skill that may have been practiced often in her own home.
Oh, wow. You know, I like that.
I love that, right? Because that development of what's going on in your home ministry, it has an outpouring with others. And it's so different when it's a contrast there. And it's so needed that there's a continuation of what you really believe and what you're really practicing in the environment where you can probably get away with it the most not to practice it, for you to say, no, I stand on the character of God and I am doing these hard things to be the mother that God has called me to be, the wife that God has called me to be, the caregiver that God has called me to be. And I love that there is peace there. There is peace not because you have the perfect words, but because your mind remains on Christ. And then there is a natural outflow, just as you said, because I'm meditating on him. I'm having that humility and remembering, oh, he's definitely my connecting piece as well to abundant life. And so as I am outpouring that, I'm remembering, hey, where did this come from? This came from me having a constant focus on the one who died for me and the one who provides more and more renewal for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, God has a divine call for Barack. Apparently, he's not listening, which
mm-hmm.
is no condemnation. It's okay. We've all been in that place. They have been beaten down by 20 years of slavery,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're tired and they're discouraged
mm-hmm.
and they needed someone to inspire them. And
yes.
the Lord chose an unlikely person, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to her and commanded her to talk to Barack. And I don't have any problem with Barack being nervous. You know, it's, she was flexible.
Yes.
You know, he's like, I'm not going unless you're going with me. And some commentaries called her this military strategist and military genius. And it's like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. When you're with God, you usually have no clue. You're not sitting back strategizing and planning and plotting. You're just following. And when things work out, you're just as surprised as everyone else.
Yes.
But, you know, Barak didn't rush out to do God's will, like Deborah probably expected. He was fearful. And so she had to stand in the gap with him. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's part of being a mom. I have four adult children, men, and they don't need me often. But when they do, I'm thrilled.
Yes.
And Ezekiel 22:30 talks about God looking for people to stand in that gap. And please don't think God condemns Barak or calls him a mama's boy. He's in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith.
Love that.
Verse 32, he's a great man of faith who conquered kingdoms.
I love that, Michelle, because I do think this is really important for us to look at. Another respectable quality about Deborah's leadership is seen in her interaction with Barak in chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, because in that position, she had the opportunity as a leader to build upon his fears and manipulate his vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of us are in that position with whoever it is we influence, especially the men in our lives and the leaders in our lives. We are standing there as an opportunity to provide comfort. Sometimes, as you said, it is counsel or direction. And we have power in that moment.
Yep.
But there's a difference between having a power that is spirit-led and submitted by God, bold when it needs to be, and then it is still pure when we are firm or when we are very definitive or when we're very determined or proclaiming. But it still goes back to God as our leader, and that's why our leadership or our counsel can be trusted. So I completely agree with you. She has someone in front of her that God has also called. And rather than using that opportunity to glorify herself or put the focus on herself, she said, I want to speak truth in this moment. I want to first be obedient to God. And then I want to encourage Barak in understanding and embracing the fact that this can be trusted. God can be trusted. And as you said, they're coming out of this oppression, or they're turning in that direction under this king who was awful. There's even moments that we see later in Deborah 5 about how awful, I'm sorry, Judges 5, not Deborah 5, about how awful the leadership was. The Israelites were so fearful. They were fleeing for the hills, you know, living in a lot of captivity just to feel a sense of safety from how awful and corrupt this leadership was. So you have people in these positions of standing in and living in so much fear. And then they kind of peek their head out saying, God, are you still there? Are you still with me? That's not an opportunity for you to glorify you. That's an opportunity to speak truth into that fear. And then furthermore, become a cheerleader when you see the person applying God to that fear. And that's also what she did. She told him later on, go on. God has already given you this victory, right? And we have to think about that when we are in these positions of leadership as women, or when we are influencers in someone's life, are we exhorting or are we criticizing?
Oh, yep.
Very important for us to meditate on, understand, and use our power wisely and not forget who has called us to be the one that that person came to.
That is so good. You know, she went out to outline, hey, okay, I'll come with you and there's going to be victory, but a woman is going to have the victory over Sisera. And, you know, Barak might have thought, what, you? You're going to run down with a sword? But no, God had another woman hidden in a tent who took care of Sisera by lopping off his head. Glory to God. This is where I am with my adult children. I don't have much to say about their plans. It's mostly like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Great. Well, I'll be praying for that. And sometimes we as parents can look ahead and like see unseen consequences. Sometimes I mention those, like Deborah did. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just pray about it. It's like, okay, God, from my point of view, I could see this going south, but I can pray. You know, and if it goes south, it's for your glory and their humility. Not that I pray for my children to be humble. They're all doing great. But it things work deep in us.
Yes.
You know, and again, Barak, still a great guy, still in Hebrews 11, you know, singing with Deborah in Judges 5. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen that. I hope we there's a video of that. So we see her now as a singer, a songwriter, and a poet, if you read her song in Judges 5. Mm-hmm. And I love that she talks about Jael.
Yes.
And brings her to the forefront of what she did to help. You know, that's part of being a woman of God, that we're not afraid to shine someone else's crown, you know, or be happy.
Yes, amen.
For someone else. Mm.
I love that. Yeah, you know, I think it's so important for us to remember, just like when Barak kind of cried out, you know, in his doubt, I'll go, but only if you go with me. That's the body.
Oh, nice.
That's the body. You know, you should be able to say, brother, sister, I need you. I need your faith alongside me to really carry out this endeavor, because there are doubts. So yes, I believe the word of God, but help my unbelief. By coming next to me, reminding me of your testimony, how God has been faithful to you. Remind me of the times he's been faithful to me, you know, as you've known me in my life, because I am in new territory, which again, in Pastor Stephen's devotional of the throne, he mentions the fact that as believers, we should constantly be in new territory, because God wants to take us to these stronger and stronger points in our faith. So that's not to say frivolously, just say yes to every opportunity. Oh, that's please, not what I'm saying.
Please don't. Oh my.
But as we are reaching these new portions in our marriages, in our friendships, with the church body and supporting our pastors, it can feel very new. It can feel very unsettling. But God is never unsettled and never confused. He just said something that you don't understand sometimes.
That is so good.
So I love that. I love that we can come around each other and provide that support and say, let me use my gifts. Let me use my time. Let me pour the love of God into this person by saying, yes, I will walk alongside you. And I will remind you who God is as you're trembling, because he still wants you to walk into that new territory. He has plans there.
That is good. You know, we have missionaries that go out, and if they only knew how many times we prayed for them and lifted them up, you know, and I feel like that's our going with them. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Schaller will often pray around the world.
Yes.
At the closing of a service or a staff meeting. And I remember I have this written down in my notes at home. In Christmas of 2023, Bensku was here from Finland, his grandson-in-law. And he called him up to the pulpit, but this young man just came to the steps and did not rise to the pulpit. And he just said, thank you for praying for us. This is the place of authority and anointing.
Wow.
And I have hung on to those two words, you know, and as women, as missionaries, as mothers, as ministers of the gospel, authority is more important than power. Mm-hmm. Deborah did not have any power. You know, I don't even know if she could lift a sword and hack someone's head off like Jael could. Woohoo. But authority is more important when you have God's anointing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that we always need to make sure that, just like you said, sometimes we can be very aware that we have an opportunity for God. And it's amazing how, because of that, our thinking can become so blocked, and then it's not about God at all anymore. It becomes my moment to shine. Or, as you said, also my moment to tear someone down, because now I'm in a position where I can do that.
I've got the mic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to remember, you know, it's not meant to be a reminder so that we can meditate on how awful we are in our flesh. We need to be honest about that, acknowledge that, and let that be what humbles us to get us back on our knees. This is not something where we can change ourselves. Christianity is not about changing yourself, but it is about recognizing just how much transforming power God can have in you if you let him, because you still have the freedom to make your own choices. And as you said, you know, God is our ultimate parent. Sometimes I know he's looking down saying, I really do not want you to go that way. However, there will be something gained from the lesson that we learn, the way that we fall flat on our face, or even the heart that we break, and we realize how much we have caused a ripple effect of disunity because of our own issue.
Sure.
And we have to look at that. We have to understand and be honest about the fact that us carrying insecurities is part of being a leader.
Sure.
Us carrying insecurities is part of being called by God, but He's greater. He has a word for us. And if we really lean into what He's saying, then even in our frailty and our imperfection, we can still accomplish these amazing things because it's God through us. It's not us. It is God through us, and He never fails.
That is beautiful. You know, she didn't limit God. Mm-hmm. When there's no other woman prophet mm-hmm. on the scene in Judges, she could have said, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I'm just a woman. I'm just a wife. I'm just a mother. God couldn't use me. Mm-hmm. But she let God use her. And I can imagine her and her husband sitting, you know, in the backyard. Really? Is this from God? Is this what I should be doing? Mm-hmm. I can just see the first day she went and sat under the palm tree. You know, like, really, God, this feels so weird. Hmm. With the first day we spoke on Grace Hour.
Yeah, the new territory.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Yeah. But she's doing it. She's being obedient because God doesn't make mistakes when He speaks, you know? And when you've heard Him, that's such a gift.
I love that. You know, we see Miriam, a beautiful prophetess, led Israel in song and then blew it a few chapters later mm-hmm. by criticizing the leader. Mm-hmm. You know, your leader doesn't always get it right, but pray. Mm-hmm. Sit back and pray. And what Miriam had to whine about was nothing to do with authority and anointing. Mm-hmm. It had to do with preference.
Yes.
So be careful, you know, when you think you have the perfect solution, you know, calm down. Don't send that email.
I love that. I love that idea of, like, you know, that order that you mentioned before.
Yes.
As long as you stay in your lane and you do what God is asking you to do,
yes,
then you are helping all of His plan to come to fruition. It's when we start taking over and saying, you know, I bet a little tweaking on my end could actually benefit this entire situation that you can't see, that you did not orchestrate, and that you don't even have to be a part of. Let's not forget.
Ouch.
So when God thinks of you, when leaders that you're around, you know, when they think of you, are you someone who promotes God's order? Are you a leader that says, I value obedience to God because I realize it's not a total rejection of me. It's my humility under God and saying, Lord, I am only an instrument. I'm aware of that. And I tremble actually at the fact of completely demeaning that and making this about my own leadership. I love you that much. And I realize these are your children. This is your kingdom. And I am playing a very small role.
Yep.
And so I am honored to be obedient to you and carry out what you're trying to bring to pass.
You know, she's indisputably a spiritual leader mm-hmm. in Israel as a prophet, but she never tried to become a priest. Mm. She never stepped over. You know, she didn't set up shop at the tabernacle mm-hmm. trying to distract people from worshiping God.
Right.
You know, and I doubt she was sitting under that palm tree on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You know, she was there worshiping with everybody else. Mm. The priesthood is reserved for men. Mm-hmm. It's just no two ways about it. It's not about a patriarchy. It's mm-hmm. not about being biblical, mm. you know, and the pastorate is clearly reserved for men in the New Testament. Mm. And I don't know when you're watching or listening to this, but for us, it's the time of the Super Bowl was last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Olympics mm-hmm. are happening concurrently, the Winter Olympics in Italy. And, you know, anyone who's competing has thrown that football or, you know, pushed them, their skis through the snow or whatever they've done a million times. Mm-hmm. You know, the skaters have jumped. It's not the first time they're doing that triple axel.
Oh, right.
Glory to God. They can do it in their sleep, you know, and God bless them. But what we do as Bible teachers is so different. Mm-hmm. You can't keep teaching to get better. Mm. That's not how you get better. We spend most of our time alone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Studying.
Yes.
We pray every time. I think we pray more than we speak here on Grace Hour.
Yes.
You know, and the studying is unbelievable. So it's one of the few jobs. If you want to be a good painter, you paint more. If mm-hmm. you want to be a good plumber, you plumb more.
Yes.
But this is a funny job. You want to be a good speaker, you don't speak more. You spend more time with God.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely. And going back to what we said, even at the beginning of the podcast, Michelle, there has to be an evaluation of how you and God are actually doing.
Sure.
I don't have anything to share with you if there's something that is between God and myself. And so that dealing with and that God speaking to us about where we're at in our own lives, in our own families, in our own walks, it's just as important of a process as us opening up our Bibles, taking our notes and really meditating, because what ministry do we have both to each other and to everyone listening if our own ministry that we have to God is blocked by something that we need to confess, or something that needs to be realigned, or a problem that we're having that we truly need to submit. So I love that. You know, I remember when my husband and I were first dating, one of the first gifts I gave him was a frame of a bunch of different quotes about teachers, because he's a math teacher and STEM coordinator now. And one of the quotes said, "What the teacher is more important than what he teaches."
Yes.
And I wanted him to always look at that, because there is so much outside influence. We have culture. We have so much secular thought trying to come into the church and come into our homes. And we have to remember, I stand on the word of God unapologetically, because he is the truth. And if that makes me somebody who stands out, sometimes even amongst my Christian friend circle, you know, you can be criticized by people that are other believers saying, you know, I don't think you have to go to God this much about this one. And it's like, really? I thought we were both reading the same Bible that says that, you know, he hears the cries of his children. I thought we were reading the same word that said, "Search my heart, oh God." I have to be sure that this is coming from God and not from me, you know? And that's what it really means, you know, to be not just an example, but somebody who truly cares for their faith and cares that the substance of it does not begin and end with them. It means being uncomfortable. It means letting God correct you. It means constantly being washed and realizing, wow, I'm not where I thought I was in my walk. But glory be to God, he's never shaken just because we see where we really are or how we really need his help. He actually runs to us even quicker, you know, when we have those moments where our eyes are opened and we can say, God, I'm reaching a different portion of your love, and it is scary and it is new, but I'm going to go sit under the palm tree because that's still what you said.
I love that. You know, Deborah, JL and Barack's obedience brought 40 years of peace to the nation.
Yes.
You know, what you do, how you behave, how you spend time with God can bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah stood for courage in a time of fear. She stood for wisdom in a time of human reasoning, when all through the book of Judges, every man did what was right in her own eyes.
Mm.
She stood for decency and order in a chaotic time of sexual perversity and idolatry.
Amen.
And God raises leaders from unlikely sources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, if you want to be a great leader, a great teacher, a great preacher, it's not that. It's your time with the Lord.
Amen.
Spend time with the Lord. And if you're striving for greatness, oh my gosh, stop today. This is not as glamorous as it looks. You know, everyone who speaks the word of God pays a price for it.
Yes.
Whether you're leading a Sunday school class or, you know, you're standing up in front of a pulpit before 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, it's so important, Michelle. You know, what's going on in our hearts? You know, that's the relationship that God wants with us. He doesn't want us to feel like he's the one that we have to hide from, you know, and there's so many hard moments that we have, whether we're leaders or not. Maybe we're just quietly being obedient and helping in a situation, but God sees that and he honors that, because your heart is of so much importance to him. And without us remembering that he is the source of true love.
Mm.
He is the source of true guidance. He is the source of true peace. You know, he tells us, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is good, meditate on these things. And we need him to do that. We want his mind more and more so that his presence in us can truly bring him glory.
You know, Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I may preach more, not, of course he did. Not that I may write more letters, of course he did. Not that I may write more books or be more famous. But he boiled it down to that I may know him.
Mm.
So that's what we encourage you to do today.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening today. It's always such a blessing to be here. And thank you for all the thoughts and comments that you shared. We truly hope you were blessed. And please listen to the rest of the week as understanding the theme is developed more and more about different people that we continue to learn from and apply their wisdom and their relationships with God from the Bible. So we just want you to subscribe to the show on YouTube as well, and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We're looking forward to the next time you join us, and God bless you. Until then, bye everyone.